Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Yupakadam Ayanda Dati Sapandam Sikram. Vansi Kapti Vrishya Kripa Sindhu Vahe Vrishya Pratitram Pavali Vrishya Vrishya Vrishya. Krishna has jumped within the waters of the Jamuna, which have been poisoned, turned into reddish yellow waves of poison. Krishna jumped in to this the lake within the Yamuna. What was it? Meandering what?
Cut off meander.
Yes. So Krishna jumped into the billabong, and it sounds funny, doesn't it? But Krishna jumped in, and there was a huge, it was as if a huge object, even though Krishna was a young boy, it was as if a huge object had fallen into the water. And there was a huge wave of reddish, yellowish, poisonous water that came out over 100 meters out of this poisonous water. And Krishna began playing within the water, and with his mighty arms, he began to make musical sounds within the water. And Kaliya heard this, and he understood that this was an attempt, a challenge to his home. So Kaliya stood before Krishna and observed his beauty to some degree. And then he bit Krishna. Cruelly bit Krishna and enveloped him and wrapped him within his coil. So at that time, we're reading from text 10 here. Tam naga boga pavitam adrista chastam. So parivitam means enveloped. Adrista chastam means that Krishna did not exhibit any movements. He was tightly encoiled within the snake. The arms or the coils of the snake. So when the members of the cowherd community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, tat priya sakha, dearest friend, when they saw Krishna, him, enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, their wives, and all pleasures. Krishna was the center of their existence. They loved Krishna fully. They had offered Krishna everything. Everything that they did, everything that they had was connected to Krishna with devotional offering to Krishna. So at the sight of the Lord and the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and thus they fell to the ground. The purport here. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the cowherd boys, along with some cowherd men and farmers who happened to be in the vicinity and who were also devotees of Krishna, fell to the ground just like trees that had been cut at the root. When a tree is cut at the root, there is nothing to support it, and it falls down completely, fully, immediately. So these persons, these devotees of Krishna, the form of the cowherd boys and the farmers that were around, they had no more support. They had no more connection to this world practically without Krishna, seeing Krishna in difficulty. So they immediately fell down to the ground, deranged. Their intelligence became deranged. There was nothing left in their consciousness practically. They experienced grief and lamentation and fear. So this is one way to demonstrate or to exhibit love. When something occurs negative to one's beloved, naturally there's a manifestation of love and it's negative. One has no more reason to exist. One's heart is empty. There's nothing that can distract one from this. They fell to the ground when their consciousness had lost its support. Well, they feared for Krishna's safety. They fell to the ground immediately, like trees who have been cut at the root. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Despite the beautiful appearance of Krishna, surits, because in the word is apit tatma surit arta kalatrakamam. So surit means their relation. Surit means near and dear to the heart. Surits are fathers, brothers, and other relatives. Arta means wealth, and kama means enjoyment of both this world and the next. The word wife being separately indicated, even though it is included within the category of surit, with the idea of expressing special sacrifice. They had offered everything to Krishna. In this way is described how they had no other concern, and they were agitated by pain, rendered most unhappy, or else they were crying out with painful sounds. And therefore their intelligence became devoid of discrimination by their repeated lamentations based on their unhappiness and by their fear of being left without their master and so on. Or else they became in that way deprived of consciousness. Or else by the experience of seeing that he did not exhibit any activity, adrishta cheta, they became bewildered in their intelligence out of unhappiness, lamentation and fear, and indeed because of becoming stunned just like trees which have their roots cut off, they fell down. It is to be understood that simply because of their being bewildered in their intelligence, they failed to enter that lake. Otherwise, they would have jumped in. The Lord's not exhibiting any emotion was for the purpose of arranging the casting out of Kaliya, even though he had taken shelter of Sri Vrindavan Dham. By displaying to the others present the extent of his evilness, if Krishna had just sent him away, he might have been liable for criticism. But because after all, he had poisoned the waters and some of the cowherd boys and cows had died and Krishna had brought him back to life. What was the difficulty ultimately? But we see how evil this Kaliya was. He was trying to crush and kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one would complain when he is sent away. So, because it is not a light thing to be taken from the shelter of Vrindavan, even though he had taken shelter there. So, Krishna allowed Kaliya to exhibit his badness, his evilness, to its extent. The factual idea, however, is that Krishna became stunned, or the Kaliya became stunned, the Sanatana Goswami with his special angle on things, by the ecstasy of embracing Krishna in pure love. So he was just holding Krishna. Sanatana Goswami ultimately says, in ecstasy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Adrishya Chesta means that Krishna became for a moment as if fearful and stunned in order to give encouragement to Kaliya. Or else, O Kaliya, you may at first go ahead and bite as you will and envelop me, but later on I shall show you my strength. In this way, the Lord was acting on the platform of heroic pride. The animal herders, some cowherd men, and also some farmers who happened to be standing in the rice fields, rapidly came there. So this was the scene. Because, again, how will we know what love is unless we see it demonstrated? Because otherwise we may think, oh, I'm a devotee. I love Krishna. But when we understand what love is, yuga yitam namesheena chakshusha sprayisha yitam, that a moment's separation, it is so actually focused and concentrated on Krishna, that a moment's separation or anything negative for one's beloved, one has no existence left, practically speaking. Everything becomes stunned. So Krishna is showing us by this pastime, he's doing many, many things. But one thing is that he's using his dear devotees in Vrindavan to exhibit true love. So we can fill our consciousness with this love. We can see how distant we are from it. Develop within ourselves a desire to attain love for Krishna and be in Goloka Vrindavan and lament our lack of any love at all, our self-satisfiedness with the petty, with the material, with the mundane, our willing to give up Krishna and Krishna consciousness by being offered any trinket of Maya. But the residents of Vrindavan, fixed in their love, nothing was valuable for them, separate from Krishna. So text 11. Gavo. So this was the boys who were there. Gavo vrisha vatsartaya Krandamana sodukitaha Krishne nyaste chanabhita rudantyayivatistire. The cows, the bulls, and female calves, because they were being, they were there having been herded there by Krishna and the cowherd boys in his day. In great distress, they called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they just stared, their eyes fixed upon Krishna. What a scene. They stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. Their tear ducts refused to work in shock. So this is so we're one by one going to go through the reactions of all the residents of Vrindavan. So the boys, the cows, in shock. Sanatana Goswami comments. The cows and other animals who were extraordinarily affectionate were stunned by excessive distress. Just as sometimes by the striking of some thunderbolt, even a dead creature rises up. The male calves are to be understood to be included amongst the bulls. Because of their preeminence, the cows and so on are explicitly mentioned. Yet furthermore, It is to be understood that all the animals present in the forest were in this condition. Not only the cows, but the other animals as well. We heard in the previous chapter that there were other animals in the forest, the deers, the birds, the peacocks. Every creature was stunned. Animals are not supposed to have sentiments, especially for humans. The only sentiment they tend to have towards humans is fear. Of course, cows and dogs and this and that. Or they want something. But they don't have any. How much real love they have is to be questioned. Or are they only interested in their relationship with humans, even the domestic animals, to get fed? But these animals had pure love, the soul's love for Krishna. We can understand that these animals are not mentioned here, the other animals from the forest, they're not directly mentioned here because of following from behind at some distance from the cows and others. So they would also go and they couldn't resist Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it was as if crying. Why? Because their tears having dried up on account of fear and anxiety. Text 12. This is the scene. Atavraje mahotkatas trividha yati daruna udpeto bubi divyatman yashanam vayasam sina. Then, so while Krishna was in the coils of the snake, while the boys had fallen down to the ground stunned, and the cows were staring at Krishna, also stunned, the cows and all the animals, with not a tear being able to fall from their eyes. While this was going on in the Vrindavan area, there arose Trividha, three different varieties of Ati Runa, most fearsome, ominous, Maha Utpata, most ominous omens and disturbances. All three types of fearful omens, those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures, which announced imminent danger. It gave presage of danger. It predicted, these signs predicted some terrible misfortune. So the three types are on the earth, in the sky, and in the bodies of living beings. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the omens were as follows. On the earth, there were disturbing tremors. In the sky, there were meteors falling. And in the bodies of creatures, there was shivering as well as quivering of the left eye and other parts of the body. These omens announced imminent danger. So everyone was more terrified. Sanatana Goswami comments on text 12. Then there appeared, while Krishna was held, evil omens, which were by very nature very terrible, giving rise to great fear because of their tending to predict evil effects. Or else, these omens were arranged in order to show Sri Nanda and other elevated Vaishnavas the extreme wickedness of Kaliya and cause them to go there. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, even though there is no cause for fearing any misfortune to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever manifestations of ill omens are indicated of the unhappiness of the cows, the gopis, and the other community members, or else on account of possessing great affection for the Lord, the predominating deities of the different departments of nature forgot his opulence, and they, fearing something inauspicious for him, manifested evil omens. Now here's what was happening next. This is text 13 to 15. Seeing the inauspicious omens, because the cowherd boys and the cows were there, but the residents of Vrindavan were in the brush of town. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were fearful. For they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. Because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. Thus they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated he had met with death, and they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women, and elderly persons, thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf. And this was just from seeing the omens manifesting. And thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village, intent upon finding him. Srila Sridhar Swami says the word, he sees the word Bayod Vigdha in the verse, and he says, this means they were shaking in fear. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because of their great anguish, they became devoid of knowledge and assumed the intelligence and discrimination was like an animal. Srila Sanata Goswami comments, without Ram implies that in the presence of him, Balaram, who is most affectionate, there would not be any possibility for misfortune for Krishna, his younger brother. By taking note of these omens, they became agitated by fear because he was their very vital force, their life, and their minds were absorbed fully in him. This is what love means. This is what Braja Bhakti means. Consciousness fully absorbed in Krishna, thinking only of his pleasure. He was always their only destination. They had only him as their dearmost, and they considered themselves only cowherd men. So they became very disturbed, overwhelmed by fear and so on. They thus left the village, repeatedly stumbling and falling down. Krishna means the attractor of the hearts of the people of Braja. And being anxious to see him, they thought, what situation is he in? Where is he? Or else they were always by nature eager to see Krishna, as they had him as their only goal. That was Sanatan Goswami. Lina Ramena. Without Ram, they became extremely worried. Text 16. Tamstata kataran viksha bhagavan madhavo bala prahasya kinchid novacha prabhavogyo anujasyasa. So then, tata, in such a condition, kataran, distressed, Viksha Singh, Bhagavan Madhava Bala. Madhava, the master of all mystic knowledge, Lord Balaram. So Balaram saw all the residents of Vrindavan in this distressed condition. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was known as Madhava, the master of all mystic knowledge, Balaram. What did he do? Prahasya. What does prahasya mean? Smiled. Gently smiled. Kinchit na uvacha. And he did not say anything. He himself wasn't worried. Why? Prabhava gya. Prabhava means great power. And gya, he knew the great power. Anuja. Anuja means his younger brother. Anujasya. He knew the power of his younger brother, so he did not react in the same way in complete distress because he was Prabhavagya. He knew the power of his younger brother, Anuja. And therefore, what did he do? Prahasya. He smiled. Translation. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, Madhava, he smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress, since he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother. Purport. Sri Balaram is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna and is thus none different from him. They are, in fact, the same absolute truth manifest in separate forms. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Balaram was laughing because he thought, Krishna never cares to play with me in my form of Sheshanaga. But now he's playing with this ordinary mundane snake named Kaliya. The question may arise as to why Krishna and Balaram, the idea is that Balaram was Prabhavagya, he had knowledge, so therefore he wasn't worried. But yet, both he and Krishna were allowing the residents of Vrindavan to experience so much distress. So the question may arise as to why Krishna and Balaram allowed their loving devotees to suffer such great anguish during Kaliya's temporary imprisonment, during Krishna's temporary imprisonment within the coils of Kaliya. It must be remembered that because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were completely liberated souls, they did not experience material emotions. These were different exhibitions of ecstasy based on their love for Krishna. Again, if there is no relationship, then there is no feeling of distress when a person is in danger. So when they saw their beloved Krishna in apparent danger, their love for him intensified to the highest degree. And thus, they merged completely in the ecstasy of love for him. The whole situation has to be seen from the spiritual point of view, or it will not be seen at all. It won't be understood. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on text 16. First, I'll read Sanatana Goswami. Seeing them in such a fearful condition, overwhelmed, even though they were actually fully endowed with all knowledge, Balaram directly observing them in such a stage of distress, although he uniquely affectionate towards his younger brother, he was loudly laughing. Here it says, loudly laughing, prahasya. He did not say anything. What a reaction. Or else he laughed a little, kinship. This is because he's Bhagavan, all-knowing, and especially because he is Madhava, he who has taken his birth in the dynasty of Maru. Therefore, he understands the power of his younger brother. Or else his quality is that he understands the special idea of Krishna, his intention of acting in these different ways for the purpose of expelling Kaliya. And also, the laughter that he's exhibiting is for the sake of reducing their distress and so on. Or his not saying anything is for the purpose of consoling them by hinting that he understands the purpose of the Supreme Personality of God. And so, if everyone's in distress and the most intelligent, all-knowing, loving, powerful brother of Krishna is laughing, thinks the whole scene is amusing, then the people who are in complete anxiety will naturally think, well, Balaram's not in anxiety. He's not worried at all. He thinks it's amusing. Therefore, their own anxiety was lessened. Then Jiva Goswami comments. Even though Balaram, endowed with all potencies, and Madhava, the master of all knowledge, even though capable, he did not give any instruction. Rather, that is quite amazing. He didn't instruct them on the position of Krishna. He didn't instruct them, don't worry about anything. Rather, even while distressed by their distress, he externally showed laughter and remained silent in order to give them courage. In other words, in order to make them think. This Balaram knows the truth about his younger brother, and he's very affectionate towards him. And since he is laughing, there is no need to be in any anxiety. Yes, he either laughed loudly or a little. And here it said he smiled. But then it may be objected, if that was the case, why did he not completely instruct them about Krishna's power? So he only indirectly hinted at Krishna's power. If he was going to indirectly hint, why couldn't he have just told them, don't worry, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing to fear when he is in the embrace of just an ordinary serpent of this world. His body is Satchitananda. If he was going to allay their fear, why didn't he do it fully? So Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī answers that, and he says, that is replied to by the word prabhava-gya. Knowing the power of Krishna, he, Balaram, remained unable to act apart from the desire of Krishna. So Krishna wanted them to experience the ecstasy of distress. Again, one of the reasons is that we would have the opportunity to view what love is by their actions. And Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur comments, he who knows Krishna's prabhav, his power, his pastime opulence, even though he, Balaram, possesses great love for his younger brother, out of love, he is covering up Krishna's very opulences by the pastime potency, which is acting according with Krishna's desire. Because Krishna wants this pastime to go on. So even Balaram couldn't do anything. Otherwise, it is implied, who would be able to check Sri Nanda? And here's another reason. Why Balaram wasn't also overwhelmed, you could say. Who would be able to check Sri Nanda and others who are ready to immediately drown themselves in the serpent's lake because of the force of their pain? Laughing, Balaram thought, he doesn't take pleasure in playing with me in my own form of Seshanaga, but rather he wants to play with this lowest of snakes, this mundane petty Kaliya. Thus Balaram is remembering how Krishna is engaging in human-like pastimes. He did not say anything, remembering that. This is because of it being improper to cover over the mentality of those who are blinded by anguish and very eager to see Krishna. And also because he was incapable of doing that, doing such. He couldn't change things. He was incapable because it was going on by the desire of Krishna. This was also seen when Lord Brahma had stolen the boys and the cows, when Krishna took on the form of the boys and cows, Balaram noticed he wasn't able to check their movements by his own power. So he understood that these boys and cows were neither great sages, nor demigods, nor exalted souls. They were Krishna, because he couldn't stop them. So this pastime was going on by Krishna's desire. So why would Krishna do these things? His desires are very, very deep and unfathomable. We get hints from the acharyas. Krishna, the ultimate reason why Krishna does these things is, of course, he accomplishes many things by one action, but also it is simply because he desires to do so. This is the ultimate reason for everything. And we can think, well, that's not a reason at all, because he desires to do so. He should be able to do better than that. He has to satisfy me with his reasons. But after all, who is he and who are we? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are tiny, insignificant, microscopic little souls who don't have any reason, can't demand anything from Krishna, in fact. And he is Svatanta, the independent Supreme Lord, and he's the absolute truth. He is the only one who is independent, and everything and everyone else is dependent on him. So So he's the only one who has a right to say, I am doing it because I want to. But, Vishwanath continues, there was the exhibition of Balaram's own laughing and lack of pain, by which it could be deduced that actually no disaster had occurred, and their desire to give up their lives was reduced. So indirectly, Balaram saved the lives of the residents of Vrindavan. By his own laughing, he stopped Nanda Maharaj from jumping and the other cowherd men from jumping into the water. 17. The residents, because they had just come from Vrindavan upon seeing the omens. The residents hurried towards the bank of the Jamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna. How did they know where he was? They just saw omens. By following the path marked by his footprints, which bore the unique signs of the personality of Godhead. Srila Sanatana Goswami has a short comment here. The word in this verse, there is dayitam. Te anveshamana dayitam. Searching out, dayatam means their beloved or their dearmost. Krishnam suchitaya padai. Suchitaya, on the path, their beloved Krishna on the path, which was marked padai by his footprints. Bhagaval lakshanir. The markings, the specific markings, the footprints which had the specific markings of the personality of Godhead. Jagmu padavya yamuna tatam. They made their way, following the footprints, they made their way to the Jamuna tatam, the bank of the Jamuna. And Sanatana Goswami says, darling, the word dayatam, darling, hints at their being able to recognize his footprints due to their full knowledge of those footprints, of the signs upon his feet. And thus they were unable to immediately find him. The reason for him being so dear is expressed by the word Krishna, Dayata Krishna. He was so dear because he was Krishna, and therefore they were searching him out. 18. The footprints of Lord Krishna, the master of the entire cowherd community, were marked with the lotus flower, barley corn, elephant goat, thunderbolt, and flag. My dear King Pariket, seeing his footprints on the path, amongst the cow's footprints, the residents of Vrindavan rushed along in great haste. Kaput. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments as follows. Since Lord Krishna had passed along the road sometime previously, why weren't his footprints, which were surrounded by those of cows, cowherd boys, and so on, smudged over and brushed away? Why hadn't his footprints been obliterated by those of the beasts and birds of the Vrindavan forest? The answer is indicated by the word Vishpati, master of the cowherd community. Since Lord Krishna is actually the wealth of all living beings, all the inhabitants of the forest of Braja would carefully preserve his footprints as great treasures. They had decided never to step on them and remove them. And therefore when Akura entered Vrindavan, he also saw the footprints of Krishna and rolled himself in the dust in ecstasy. So all the inhabitants of the forest would carefully preserve his footprints as great treasures, the very ornament of the earth. Thus no creature within Vrindavan would ever walk upon Lord Krishna's footprints. That's Sanatana Goswami who said that. And there's a comment by Srila Sridhar Swami that we'll read. How they found out the path by his footprints is described in the verse beginning Te of Vishpati. They discriminated his footprints from the others without bewilderment, in the same way that yogis, negating the different exterior designations, search out the absolute truth. So just as yogis, their consciousness is fixed on the absolute truth, and they discriminate that which is the absolute truth from that which is not the absolute truth. My neti, 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 not this, not this, not this. their consciousness is fixed on the Absolute Truth, so the residents of Vrindavan, their consciousness was fully fixed upon Krishna. Text 19. As they hurried along the path to the bank of the Jamuna River, they saw from a distance that Krishna was in the lake, motionless within the coils of the black serpent. They further saw that the cowherd boys had fallen unconscious and that the animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. As in their grief and pain, the residents of Vrindavan tried to find out whether Kaliya had forcibly dragged young Krishna from the shore into the water, or whether Krishna had himself jumped from the shore and fallen into the clutches of the snake, which had happened. Huh? Krishna had jumped in and had fallen into the clutches of the serpent Kaliya. But they could not understand anything about the situation, and Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, being unconscious, were unable to tell them anything. Because naturally, when you come to the scene, what happened, what happened, what happened? But the cowherd boys were unconscious. The cows and calves were crying out for Krishna. And thus the whole situation was overwhelmed and created a state of shock and panic amongst the residents of Vrindavan. Again, this is all going off by Krishna's desire. Beginning of bhakti is surrender to Krishna's desire and see to the extreme that Krishna carries his desires what appears to be the detriment of the residents of Vrindavan. But again, as was previously said, they have no material consciousness, and in this distress they are feeling the highest ecstasy because Krishna and Krishna alone is the center. Now the young gopis, we heard about the cowherd men, they're running. There'll be more on the cowherd men in a moment. And then we'll hear about the older gopis and now about the young gopis. When the young gopis, this is how the cows, the boys, so that's, you know, the Dasyaras, the Sakyaras, the Madhuryaras and Vatsalyaras, all the different, they are all Madhuryaras in Vrindavan. They are all fully sweet, ecstatically in love with Krishna. So when the young gopis, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Lord, saw that he was now within the grips of the serpents, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances and his talks with them. Burning with great sorrow, they saw the entire universe as void. This is the reaction of the divine gopis of Vrindavan. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment here. The distress of those who were so attached to him is thus described. Anante, the last Bhagavat Anante, Anurakta Manaso, Gopyo Anurakta Manaso Bhagavati Anante. The coward girls, Anurakta Manasa, their minds very much attached to him. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anante, the Unlimited One. They were fully attached to him. Their minds were attached to him. And their minds were not attached to anything else. This is the perfection. When one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. Anante means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Beautiful One. Whose qualities are unlimited. Remembering his loving smile of love directed at themselves, his glance and his words spoken in secrecy, their conjugal conversations, they thought the three worlds to be empty, being deprived of their dearmost because of the three worlds having become burnt to ashes by the fire of their separation from him. Nothing has value without Krishna. This is the mood of Vrindavan, the mood of the Braja Gopis. So sometimes we may wonder, well, I want to be in Goloka Vrindavan. How come Krishna isn't kind to me? Why, how come he's not merciful and just, why doesn't he just bring me there? And the reason is because we can't be there without current consciousness. And if we had that type of consciousness, we would be there. So Krishna consciousness means to develop that kind of consciousness. The desire to have that consciousness, like the residents of Vrindavan. Not imitating, not making believe that because I have this smallest reflection of a trace of a desire for my own selfish reasons, that that's actually the kind of love that the, or even a shadow of the love that the, that is the true love of the residents of Vrindavan. But yet, there must be some desire, unselfish desire to advance. That is bhakti in Krishna consciousness. The seed, that seed, that faith, that taste is spiritual. It's a spiritual energy, and it's the gift of association with the internal energy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So, text 21. Now, that was the younger gopis. Now, the Ta Krishna Mataram Apatyam. Krishna Mataram, the mother of Krishna, Yasoda, Apatyan, Anu Pravishtam, fixing her vision on her son. She saw, how could the mother tolerate this? Although the elderly gopis were feeling just as much distressed as she, Mother Yasoda, and were pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they had to forcibly hold back Krishna's mother, whose consciousness was totally absorbed in her son. Standing like corpses, with their eyes fixed upon his face, these gopis each took turns recounting the pastimes of the darling of Braja. So this is the reaction of Yasoda and the other mothers of Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on 21. Sukadeva is revealing only a little about the special condition of his mother's because of Sukadeva's own burden of sorrow. The son, Apatya, is Krishna, because of whom a family does not fall into distress. Or in other words, the son who is the object of greatest affection. Therefore, Yasoda cast her glance at him and was excessively tormented on account of him. Even though equally as pained as she, the other mothers held her firmly, held onto Yasoda firmly, constantly, because otherwise she would have suddenly by force entered within the lake. Thus, from the ladies flowed floods of sorrow and great currents. The topics of the darling of Vrindavan, or else of him for whom Vrindavan is very dear, or else the pastimes of their darling, Lord Krishna, which occurred in Vrindavan, this is what they were speaking of to Mother Yasoda, or else the topics which are dear to Vrindavan, the stories of his childhood sports and so on, or else alternatively, his joking conversations with smiling, loving glances. In this way, it is described they're speaking in extreme and complete sorrow. Or else relating the stories of the killing of Vatsa, Bhaka, and so on, they said, who is this petty snake? The idea is that they spoke thus in order to console his mother. The details of their words spoken in sorrow are given in the in Vishnu Purana. And here's what they are, added by Sanatana Goswami. It is better that all of us, together with Modi Yasoda, enter into this poisonous, mighty lake of the King of Serpents, rather than to return to Vrindavan, which is no longer appropriate for us. After all, what is the use of the day without the sun, of the night without moon, or the cows without their bull, or Vrindavan? What is the use of it without Krishna? Deprived of Krishna, we shall not return to Gokul. This forest is no longer fit to be resided in, for it is just like a lake deprived of its water. It is amazing to us that Krishna's mother still maintains her hankering to reside along with him in Vrindavan, where that Lord Hari exhibited his complexion like the petals of a lotus, blue lotus. But, oh wretched women, how can we remain in the cow pastures without seeing Lord Hari? His eyes as shining as the petals of full-blown lotuses. All the wealth of our minds has been stolen away by his most charming talks. And therefore, we will not go back to the cowherd village. Yet, even while being enveloped in the coils of the King of Serpents, Krishna is glancing at us with his beautiful, smiling face. So they're all completely captivated by Krishna. Then his comment continues. That was the part that was in the Vishnu, from the Vishnu Purana. They offered their eyes to the face of Krishna. They stood in order to look at him, or else, while discussing, they fixed their eyes upon the face of Krishna, and they became just like dead corpses in the sense of being bewildered. The women being described here are equal in age to the queen of Vrindavan, Yashoda, whereas the previously mentioned ones are for the most part younger and who are most dear to the Lord. Or at least this is the interpretation of some authorities. In the same context, the agitation of those who had affection for him in a parental mood is described. They, the well-known ladies, held back Yashoda, who was looking at her son and was tormented beside herself with remorse. In the alternative reading Pravishtam instead of Anupravishtam, Yasoda became merged into her son, inasmuch as she became stunned. Seizing Yasoda, the mother of Krishna, all the elderly gopis said, "At least the vital force still remains within her body. So let us turn our attention away from Krishna, who is already dead, enveloped in the coils of the snake." And saying this, they held her, Yasoda, within their arms, and they repeatedly washed with cold water her face, which had become filled with tears, and each of them loudly spoke topics of Krishna, the darling of Braja, for the sake of bringing her back to consciousness. And what condition were they in? They were shedding rivers of sorrow, in accordance with the definition of the Amrakosha. Shravanti means flowing away downward. In other words, their tears by their own waves were overflowing even other tears. Their new tears were overflowing the older tears and washing them away. In the end, however, these ladies became such that their limbs were just like those of a dead corpse. And the final verse we'll read today, 22. Krishna pranan nivashato nandadin vikshatam ridam pratyasidatsav bhagavan ramakrishna anubhavavit. Krishna pranan, the men whose very life and soul was Krishna. Nirvishata, they entered Nanda Adin, headed by Nanda Maharaj, viksha, seeing, tam, that. Riddham, lake, Pratyasedat, Fabad, Sai, Bhagavan, Rama. And then Krishna, Anubhava, Vid, knowing well the power of Krishna, his younger brother, same point. Balaram stopped the coward men headed by Nandamaraj, whose very life was Krishna, stopped them from entering the lake. Because he knew the power of Krishna. The translation, Lord Balaram then saw that Nandamaraj and the other cowherd men who had dedicated their very lives to Krishna were beginning to enter the serpent's lake. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram fully knew Lord Krishna's actual power, and therefore he restrained them. Short comment here. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Lord Balaram checked some of the cowherd men by speaking to them, others by physically holding them, and still others by casting upon him his potent smiling glance. Distraught over the situation, they were prepared to give up their lives for Lord Krishna by entering the serpent's lake. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, somehow or another, their bewilderment subsided, and after some lapse of time, Nanda and all the residents of Braja, without exception, indiscriminately attempted to enter. And he who had been kept at home by the Supreme Personality of the Godhead for protecting Vrindavan, or else he who was famous for his being affectionate towards his friends and relatives, Balaram, checked them. But it may be questioned, how is he be able to check all of them? That is replied by the word Bhagavan, meaning that he was endowed with all potencies. Some of them he checked by verbal argument, some by physical force, and some, according to Vishnu Purana, by glancing at them face to face with his charming smile. Or in other words, by showing them that he, the Personality of Godhead, thought the situation was indeed all right. In this way, by giving pleasure to all, he is Rama. But it may be objected, how is it that he, Rama, was undisturbed? That is replied to, Anubhava Vit, Prabhava Vit. He knew the power of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was the original form of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And furthermore, it is to be understood that all of the coward men, overwhelmed by the burden of affection, became extremely distressed on account of directly seeing Krishna, and especially because of not being allowed to enter the lake. Thus, due to their rising of sorrow, they became bewildered and fell down upon the earth, unconscious. And Vishwanath, the final comment we'll read here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, O respectable elders, please consider the situation carefully with the statement, this is what Balaram said when he forbade them. O respectable elders, please consider the situation carefully in accordance with the statement of Garga Muni, who said, by his grace, this is at Krishna's birth ceremony, he said, by his grace, you will all easily cross beyond such obstacles as this. Thus you should please resort to discrimination. If all of you enter into the lake, then later, when my younger brother comes back to his proper condition, who will carry out the taking care of maintaining him? How can you be prepared to transgress the order of the great sage Garga? You should all, so Krishna was the center. He could have said, oh, when he comes back, you'll be dead. You won't have the opportunity to see him again. So with that statement, they are the center. But he said, but you won't. Who will take care of him otherwise when he comes back? So Krishna's care and pleasure was the center. This is the nature of the residents of Vrindavan. They have no other thought or feeling or consideration other than the service and pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, you should all protect him with great care. Balaram addressed them with such words. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So next we'll hear how Krishna reacts to all this transcendental distress going on. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.